This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, the Heroes of Faith chapter, and I'll read just a few verses. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 8, I'm going to share just a few verses with you, and then I'll just share just a few things with what the Lord's laid on my heart. Notice in verse 8, it said this, it said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's pray. Father, I ask you now just to bless the reading of your word.
Yes.
Lord, to speak to our hearts, not just the hearts of this congregation, but to my heart. Father, we thank you for this group this morning. We thank you for the message that we've heard in song. We thank you how it encouraged our heart, what it made our hearts to feel. And we pray, Lord, that you bless this people, bless this church, have your will and way with this place. Bless this homecoming. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want us to look this morning just very briefly, as brief as I can, at Abraham. Abraham was such a figure. If you think about Abraham in the Bible, you know, when God decided to give Moses the history of mankind, he gave us what? The Pentateuch, didn't he?
Yep.
And he gave us really the book of Genesis. What is that? The book of beginning, right? And in that book, there's 50 chapters in a King James version of the Bible. And in those chapters, there's 1,539 verses. Out of those 1,539 verses, 400 of them, or 26%, deal with this man Abraham.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, anything at all should tell you that he is a person that we should be paying attention to.
Amen.
It's that fact alone. Amen. In the Bible, Abram has mentioned 54 times. 54 times it's mentioned. 231 times Abraham is mentioned in the Old Testament, and in the New Testament, he's mentioned 69 times. And I want to tell you, all of that should tell us that when, if God says something once, it's important.
Amen.
But when God says something to us and talks about somebody of us 285 times in the Bible, we ought to say there's something we can learn from this person.
Amen.
Amen. What do you say? And I will say this. When God mentions something to us, as much as he talks about Abraham, there's something we can learn from him. And I just wanted to point out a couple of things in these verses that I think really distinguished Abraham. You talked about being a sinner. There's nobody in here. I want to tell you something. Everybody in here is sinners.
That's right.
Yeah. And I want to tell you something too, Brother Jim. We really just a bunch of saved sinners. Yeah. Amen. All of the things that made us sinners, Brother Terry, is still right here.
Amen.
Right. It's still right here. And if you don't believe
on,
me, I want to tell you, I've told this, maybe I'll tell you before. I was in Easley, South Carolina. I was sitting at a red light. I was looking at the Easley Baptist Church. I looked over it, and you could see the progression of that church. There was this little bitty church. There was this great big church sitting beside it. Beside that was a bigger church. And then beside that was one of these great big arena looking things. You can just see how that church was growing.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there at the red light and I thought, you know, I could hear it now. Dr. Allen, you come on up this morning and present to us. I'm sitting at the red light just envisioning myself. Oh, I look good. I look good. It was all my eyes. And I'm coming down the hill from that church, brother. And there's a bank. Get started. Jesus, I'm coming. You don't look coming to church. There's a bank sitting there. And on that bank, there's an armored car out in front. And there's Barney Fife. I've never seen him in the flesh. But I could tell that guy didn't have a gun. They didn't trust him to put a bullet in his gun. I could tell that if he wanted to shoot me, he's going to have to get down his pocket. You remember, Barney?
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I could rob that. in the valley on the bank. I was.
Yeah.
And you know what? The very next red light, I looked over, and you guys don't feel bad about it. I'm just telling the truth. I looked over, and there was a Jeep, and it had the doors, those clear doors on the side. Mm-hmm. And there's a lady driving the Jeep. I think she's a lady. And when she had got dressed that morning, for whatever reason, she decided to not put a side in her dress. And it was on my side. And so there, this is mankind. This is what we are. On the hill, I was a great evangelist. Coming down, I became a bank robber. And at the next red light, I was an adulterer. Yeah. That's what we are.
Yeah.
That's who we are. If you think you're better than that, you better not look in a mirror. When God looked down, if we go to the book of Genesis, in the last part of chapter 11, all the way through chapter 25, it's really the story of Abraham. And when we think about how evil we are, I want to tell you something, honey. Abraham wasn't any better. He was a pagan in the land of the Ur of Chaldees. And God looked down at him one day and said, Abraham, get you up and get you out of this land, boy, to a land that I'm going to show you.
Amen.
Great.
I'll tell you something. He was no different than you or I. Yeah. He was as steep in sin as anybody else is.
Amen.
And it was the only fact that God intervened and came into his life that made a difference in him, Brother Jim, that you couldn't make, I couldn't make, or he couldn't make himself.
Amen.
It was God, and God alone reached down and touched this man and made him really become the father of everybody that believes. Amen. Abraham, the great man. Notice a couple of things that it said about Abraham in this scripture. Number one, it said Abraham obeyed God.
Yes.
And I tell you, as you think about this, and you think about what does God really want from me and you? What does God really need from me and you? I want to tell you something. He don't need a thing from us. But I want to tell you, what he wants from us is just simple obedience. He don't choose you because you're talented. He don't choose you because you progress great ability. When God chooses somebody, he gives them everything that they need to do what he wants from us. He ain't looking for somebody to say, oh, I could really use that guy because he can do this and this. He made us all, and he can allow us all to do whatever he wants us to do. What God's looking for is a willing and obedient heart.
Amen.
Boy, you can see this so easy in Abraham. Think about this. Let me give you three real quick things. Think about Abraham's obedience in the call. Now, I know some Bible scholar here that is going to tell me right quick that God called him in chapter 11 of Genesis and he didn't, partially responded and went to Haran. Well, I want to tell you, Brother Tim, I believe it's like this. Abraham was under a patriarch system. And as long as Abraham was, his father was alive, Abraham submitted unto his father. And he did exactly what his dad told him to do. And so in chapter 11, I believe God spoke to Abraham. And Abraham went to his family, went to his dad and said, Dad, God wants us to get out of this country. And so what did Dad do? He said, well, I guess we probably ought to do. So what did he do? He was Baptist. He went about halfway out of the family. Well, I can feel comfortable in Haran. Did you notice that's what he named one of his sons, by the way? Do you think there's any connection there?
Uh-huh.
And so he stayed there probably 25 years. But you know what happened? He died. And when he died, chapter 12, when we would have it, chapter 12, first part of chapter 12, God came back to Abraham again and said, God doesn't never change. And I want to tell you something. You're sitting here doing, God don't want to, God this, God that. Let me tell you something. Until you do what God has told you to do, God won't tell you anything else to do.
That's right.
Okay? That's a little profound, a little wordy, but it's true. And so in chapter 12, and we see his obedience and his call, God told him, said, Abraham, get thee out of the country. And what does the Bible say? Now Abraham's the senior son. Now Abraham's in charge of the family. Now Abraham's the oldest. And when God said, get up and go, he got up and went.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
And that obedience. Old Blackaby said this. Blackaby said, you're never... Blackaby said, let me read correctly because I'll get it wrong. Blackaby said this, one can't go with God and stay where you are. One can't go with God and stay where you are. You always want to know what God wants you to do. Well, I can guarantee you it's not on your couch, in your bin, watching the Tennessee ball game on Saturday afternoon. That's not what you're talking about. Even though that's pretty good. God wants you to go. A.W. Tozer said this. Said the Bible recognizes no faith that does not lead to obedience, nor does it recognize any obedience that does not spring from faith. The two are opposite sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. When God wants you to do something, just do it.
Amen.
Let me ask you this. In his thought, what kind of church would we be if when God wanted us to do something, we just did it? What kind of Christian would we be when God wanted us to do something, we didn't hem and haw around about it? We just got up and did it. The last part of that verse 8, I believe it is. Let me make sure. I've not got nothing right this way. Yeah, 8. Listen to what it said. He said, you go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obey. And he went out. Then listen to this. Not knowing wherever he went. You know what's wrong with most of us as Christians? What's wrong with most of us as a church? Is if we can't see it, we don't want any part of it. You say, I just don't believe. Oh, get the next business meeting. Get the next business. Well, I just don't know how we'll pay for that. I don't know how we'll do this. Oh, we can't do that. We're just this, we're that, we're the other.
Yeah.
You know what they're saying there, Brother Terry? They want to know where they're going. But God said, you go, and I'll tell you when you get there. Boy, that's a difference, isn't it? Now, I want to tell you something. You singers may not want to go somewhere. But if God wants you to go, they may boo and awe and not enjoy it like we did. But you know what? God may have you there for one person. I believe with all of my heart. If God only knew there was going to be 10.
Yeah.
What did Abraham get him down to in Sodom and Gomorrah? He said, first just 10. He said, I'll spare the city. Well, I got news for you. I believe if there was just 10 going to get saved, Jesus would have died on the cross. Because he loves us.
Amen.
So in his call, we see his obedience. And I'm trying to hurry. In his covenant, we see his obedience. Think about chapter 17. I believe it is, brother. In chapter 17, he talks about God comes to him and he talks about there. He comes to Abraham. He says, Abraham, I want to make thee a great nation. And he begins to tell all of these things. And Abraham says, well, I don't have a child. There in my house is this Eliezer from Damascus. God said, he ain't going to be your house. He's not going to be your house. There's going to be one spring from your own loin. And he goes down to there and he makes a covenant.
Yes.
And that covenant is what we know as circumcision.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my little grandbaby was last Wednesday, I think it was, they took him and had him circumcised. That goes all the way back to Abraham's day. Prior to that, I don't know of anything in our history. But that's kind of where that comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it for different reasons. Obviously, we're not doing it to honor the covenant. That's a view done away with in Jesus' blood. And I want to tell you something. When God gave him this covenant, he said, what you're going to do is every male 8 days old, they're going to be circumcised. And you know what? That's when I start not going, but kind of going, and cringing. Just the thoughts. So God laid all of this out. The last part of that chapter, what does it say? And God left off speaking with Abraham, and Abraham hollered at Ishmael, which was about 13 years old at the time, and he said, "Hey, Ishmael, get everybody, get all the men that's been bought with money in this house, get all the men that belong to this house, get you come on." And Abraham, when he was 99 years old, was circumcised, and what does the Bible say? It says that very day that God spoke with him. That's obedience. That's obedience. That's what God wants from us. Not to tell us something and maybe we'll think about it and contemplate on it and do a cost analysis and just decide if that's something that makes sense for us to do. Let me tell you, what He wants you to do is to get the knives and to get started and to get on your way doing exactly what He wants you to do exactly the day He said to do. Show him and haul around. You want to know why you ain't any further along than where you're at spiritually? It's because probably back there somewhere in your opportunity, God's pecked you on the shoulder and said, "Maybe you ought to sing. Have you heard me sing, Lord?"
Who made man's mouth?
Maybe you ought to teach. I just don't know. Maybe you ought to do something. Maybe you ought to preach. Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what God's looking for. Three times in the Bible refers to Abraham as a friend of God. How do you get to that status? I say you get to that status when what did Jesus say to the disciples? He said, "Ye are my friends if you do what? If you can keep my commandments."
Yeah.
I want to tell you something. You want to be a friend of God? You want to be where God wants you to be? Be obedient. Be obedient. So we see it in this. And by the way, just a note on that call. The verbiage in the Hebrew, when that's written there, and Brother Tim here is the scholar, but if you go back and study that, he said he told Abraham to get up and go to a far country. And the verbiage and how it's written and constructed, it basically meant the very minute he started telling him that, Abraham started putting his stuff together and started making preparation. It wasn't a fact of, "Are you going to go?" It was a fact that he was on his way as he was telling him to go. That's obedience. And here what he said, circumcise that very day, not a week later or not some other time. He's getting the knives and he's preparing everybody that fell under the guidelines that God gave him to become circumcised that very day.
That's right.
Oh, those. One more. Talking about his obedience. When he came to the commitment to offer his son, you remember the story. Chapter 22 of Genesis. Abraham's life. One day, God said, "Abraham, so I want you to get yourself up and go into a place that I'm going to show you. And there I want you to offer your son, your only son, the burnt offering." Well, that'd be some news, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I'll tell you something. You folks would be in really bad trouble if you were depending on me to get one of my grandsons for your life.
Yeah.
Now, I might think about it. The Bible said for a righteous man, son would dare die. So, you know, we've heard stories about that. Where people were priests, and I can't remember the priest's name, but in World War II, in the concentration camp, they was fixing to kill a guy, and the priest stepped up and took his place. And I can't remember his name. There's stories about that. I don't think I could give my grandson, but Tim, I love you. I don't know if I could lay my grandson's life. It's a different type of love I have for him than I have for you. That's where our language is not accurate.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we need those five Greek words to better describe. To have that phileo. But I have pretty close to that. Somewhere in that between that phileo and agape for my grandson. I don't think I can get total agape. But boy, I can. That's certainly not phileo.
Right.
It's not a brotherly love. I love that kid all my heart.
That's right.
God said to Abraham, and that's why Abraham, this was the promise.
Yeah.
This was the promise that God had made him to be a nation. This was Abraham's only chance. And God said, take him up to this hill and I'm going to show you. And there kill him. And what happened? That very next morning, early in the morning, early before anything else, he started loading the wood.
Yeah.
He started getting the servants together. He grabbed his son and he started walking towards Moriah.
Yeah.
And there, why? Because there he was going to offer his son.
Yeah.
Why? God told him to do it. And you know, the Bible said he got all the way down to where the wood was laid in order.
Mm-hmm.
The fire was in his hand. And Isaac was bound and laid upon that wood. And Abraham took that knife back, I believe, and grabbed that kid's hand and was fixing to slice that throat. But he doesn't have, Abraham's a faith one. He doesn't have faith. He said, he told them boys waiting on him. He said, well, I'll be in that ladder. He'll come again. You ever read what's said in Galatians chapter 3? I believe it's verse 6. Well, you know there it said that the gospel had been preached to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
It had been preached to Abraham.
Oh, yes, sir.
See, God done told him, said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'll only make a great nation that boy's alive.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you the truth, what did he say over in John 8? Jesus talking to those. He said, why, Abraham saw my day.
Yes, sir.
And he was glad.
Yeah, buddy.
Well, you'd be glad when you see Jesus.
Yeah.
When you realize who Jesus is and what Jesus is, it'll make your heart glad.
Yeah.
There's hope.
Well,
and I tell you the truth, I believe going up that mountain. Oh, Abraham, you, the resurrection, brother, he knew. And him and that lad, and no matter what happened up there, that lad was coming back down that mountain. Why? Not because of anything Abraham had. Not because of anything Abraham could do. Because of what God could do. Is there anything too hard?
That's right.
And in that call,
brother,
and in that call, and in that covenant, and in that commitment to offering, we see a lot of obedience. You know what a Christian we could be if we could just learn to obey. Oh, I tell you, don't you hear old Samuel's word to Saul echoing in our ears right now? Obedience is better than sacrifice. You'd say, well, Lord, you just don't know what I've done. No matter what you've done, have you been obedient?
That's right.
Lord, you don't know what I do for church. You've been obedient. Let me tell you something. What does that look like in our world today? How about when God specked you on your shoulder and said, that old boy over there is just a sinner. I heard him say it a few minutes ago. He said he was a sinner. You may want to witness to him. How many of us has walked by that? I am. Boy, he's been, I'm going to tell you the truth, in my life. See, you just want me to be honest, don't you? Now, I could be a little pious and say, when the Lord spoke to me, I jumped up and did exactly what he said to me. Well, you need to stand up the next person that says that. That way, when you see him again, you won't have to wonder, is that guy telling the truth? No, he's not telling the truth. He's got a liar right there on his head. That would be so much helpful, wouldn't it? I mean, you see these. The other day, I'm teaching, and I know this is absolutely free. I'm not in charge of extra for this. We were down, they were having Irma blowing through Florida. And some pious person put online, there's somebody online was saying, oh, we're down in the middle of the storm, it's blowing, it's hard, I'm scared to death, everything else. And some idiot put online, well, God's not giving us the spirit of fear. I thought, Jeanette said, I'm going to read this. I said, I turned him off when he said that. She said, what's wrong? I said, couldn't you see him in the boat with the disciples?
Yeah.
There's Jesus laying over there, and they're sleeping. Oh, they're going, hey, wake up, don't you dare to repent. I'm scared to death.
Yeah.
And some guy's going, I said, you know what's wrong with that guy? He's not in the hurricane.
That's right, bro. He's not there.
When the hurricane starts blowing, you'll be on fire and going to pray for me. I don't know who gave it to me, but I got a really bad spirit fear. I'll tell you something. We just humans. And anything good or strength or anything else about us comes from
him.
And it's that Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And when that Holy Spirit, that unction, oh, that leadership.
Yeah.
Oh, that direction. Oh, that moving.
Yeah.
Oh, that sweet feeling that rolls in across your heart.
Yes,
and you know, beyond it, you know that you know that you know that you know that you know, Brother Terry, exactly who that is.
Right.
When he says go, get up and go. When he says stay, hold still. When he says stand, it don't matter what's blowing, what's coming your way. That's the safest place in the universe for you to be. And you'll not be moved. You'll not be taken out till God chooses your time. And when your time comes, it'll be the perfect will of God. Oh, if we could only be obedient. Be obedient. I don't have time to give you the last two or three things. But I'll just share with you for my points only. We see his statue and his leadership and his what made him who he was is belief and keeping and trust in the promises. Well, I tell you, the Bible said, I believe it's in 15:6 Genesis, he said, and when God told him, oh, I gotta give you this, God told him, said, Abraham, I'm gonna make you a great nation. And he looked and said, he looked, and Abraham's like 86 years old, I think, at that time. He's 80, late 80s. And God said to him, said, Abraham, he said, I want you to look up. And I want you to tell the stars that if you could number them, that you'd be able to number your descendants as the sands of the seas. And you know what old Abraham did? He didn't look down. He didn't look at that old frail body that was past humanity's ordained time of fathering and natural child fathering. Instead, he looked up and he told the sky, he said, hey, I'm going to be the father of the great nation. And those next verses said, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Romans 4 tells us that, hey, before the law, before anything, he was in belief. And he was in a right relationship with God. It wasn't for keeping rules and regulations. It was belief in God.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something. Oh, if we could just believe what God said. You know the reason people die and go to hell today? They just don't believe God.
Amen.
If you could believe God this morning, you may be here this morning. And you don't know Jesus Christ. Your problem is you don't believe what Jesus is saying. You don't believe what God's saying to you. But I want to tell you something today. If you feel that little nudge, that little knock on your heart this morning, if you know and the Holy Spirit's pecking on your door and saying you need that person that He's talking about, I want to tell you something. Don't turn that away. Don't turn that away. Don't run away. Run toward it. Don't ride it off. Ride it in.
Yeah, buddy.
Don't ignore. Yeah. Listen intent.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart, Brother Tim, God, every man, God visits them in one shape, form, or fashion in their life. And I believe God wants every man to be saved. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe it's Brother Tim coming by. Brother, maybe it's you when you're up here testifying in a song. You speak to a heart. Maybe it's somebody in a Walmart line. Maybe it's somewhere on Facebook. Maybe it's something somebody says to you, whatever. But God takes that and He pricks your heart. And with that, there's an opportunity of salvation.
Yes.
But you turn it off. I don't know if it'll ever come back again or not. You said, Brother Roy, you're trying to scare me. If I could scare you into getting saved, I'd get behind every door I could find and jump out and follow the boom as loud as I possibly could. Because I'd love to scare you out into hell. And I want to tell you something. If hell don't scare you, you're not real smart. You understand that? Not real smart. I love you, but you're just not real smart. Won't you go up here and won't you run down to the airport and get you a rope and tie it onto the back of a 747 and let it go flying down the runway? You might make it, right? You might. But you got a lot better chance of surviving that than you do staying out of hell without Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Don't let the devil cheat you out of that.
Amen.
I thought of Brother Adams this morning coming over. I thought, I think this is the first homecoming. They've not been here. Oh, no. Sis Adams used to come in, sit back there. And I tell you, hard time. Both of them, especially Miss Adams, struggled. She's struggling this morning, huh? She's in good shape.
Yes,
But Adam's probably still running up down the street, shouting it out. Mm-hmm. Ain't no telling what's going on. But he ain't hurting no more.
No.
And he's enjoying the rewards.
Exactly.
And you know what? If you know Jesus today, we'll see him again.
Amen.
If you don't know Jesus today, he might see you again. I don't know quite exactly how we'll be positioned when they drag you across the stage of the universe and cast you into hell. But I tell you, get saved. Be like old Abraham. Be obedient.
That's right.
Believe what you hear. Believe what you've been told. The Bible said that Abraham believed God. And he was accounted to righteousness. I close with this. There's a lot of people in heaven today. A lot of people in heaven today that you can't show me anywhere, any scripture, or give me any proof that they've ever been baptized. You say, Roy, there's more churches here. You can't hardly stir and stick without seeing them. Now that wonder. I'm Chattanooga. We got Church of God. I understand. But I'll tell you, you can't tell me where people's been baptized that's in heaven today. You can't show it to me. Can't show it to me. You can't show me where everybody in heaven today has went to a church. How about that? Can't show me that. I'm back. You can't show me where people in heaven ever went to Sunday school. You can't show me where anybody ever went through evangelism explosion or anything else that we associate with what we would perceive as being Christian in today. But let me tell you this, beyond a shadow of doubt, there's not a person in heaven today that didn't believe. You understand that? Not a single person in heaven that didn't believe what God said. You know what Jesus said? Our work that God wanted us to do right now today was to believe on Him whom God has sent. Let me ask you today, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that He died for your sins? Do you believe that He rose again on the third day? Do you believe that He's sitting again at the right hand of the Father today making intercession? Do you believe that right
That's
now
right.
the Holy Spirit's pricking your heart, asking you to believe and to trust Him as Lord and Savior of your life? I want to tell you something. Don't. The food's out there. We're ready to go eat. But this is the most important
time. That's right, man.
God's dealing with your heart. I wouldn't wait another minute. Because let me ask you, do you have another minute?
No.
You can't do that. So I close with that. Brother Bill, would you come and get a song? Brother Tim, would you come? If you're here this morning, God's dealing with your heart. Oh, let me tell you something. Please don't turn that away.
Who would you know?
Please don't turn that away. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's inviting you to come.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit's saying come. The Lord Jesus said come. God right. said come. I want to tell you, you know what you ought to do? Just be obedient and believe.
Love me. 49.
You are.